Welcome to our final Advent Discussion podcast. We appreciate you joining us to listen in on our conversation this week. So, welcome everybody to our final Advent Discussion. Thanks for being here. And the first thing I often ask, is just if there's any reaction to the message, anything that kind of struck you, resonated or disagreed with, or just got you thinking more. Was there something like that in the message today?
I did like Josh's phrase, undivided awe, because I thought, wow, like I think we've lost the sense of that in today's world where we don't give anything undivided awe. I think as adults, we sometimes are so distracted by the things around us that we don't take time to do the we don't give anything our undivided awe. And I think it's really hard for us because of the distractions. And this reminded me that to slow down, especially at this time of year, and give the important things my undivided awe. And obviously God is the most important thing, right? So I need to slow down and give him my time and my friends.
That's good. It is true. I have not heard that phrase before. I've heard undivided heart and, of course, awe and reverence. But to put them together like that, that does give a new twist to it. It actually is one of the questions that I have. So why don't I just jump into that question, skip down to it? Because that idea of awe and reverence, as you say, where do we see that? Do we see that in society today? You kind of were saying maybe you don't. But can we think a little bit about that?
I think for me, going back to Owen, I've been in awe of him, how he went through what no 14-year-old should have gone through, right, with a smile on his face. And it really does mean something to me.
That's an excellent example. Yeah. Josh was talking about, you know, celebrities and, influencers that people can have a kind of sense of awe of them.
I do think we're certainly in a celebrity culture, and it's not just in the secular world, like it's in the Christian world too. And I think it's easy to start misplacing, kind of looking for things from other people. So whether those are people in our lives, I think we can have maybe an unrealistic expectation of what other people are capable of being in our lives. But I think we do that in a kind of celebrity way with certain leaders out there too. Like I can fall into that, right? Like you're kind of looking for certain wisdom from people out there to kind of say the thing you need to hear to motivate you or to inspire you. And certainly there are great people who are being used by God to do that in the lives of many people. So it's not to invalidate that, but it's kind of checking your heart and making sure that you're not expecting other people to fill a godlike role in your life that really only Jesus can fill.
So I guess another question that kind of I thought of flowing out of that was, how do we develop an awe or reverence for God? What are things that can nurture that? Is part of the key, that word undivided, when you said undivided awe, that changes it somewhat, right? Is it a matter of just reflecting? Is it something more?
I think that's a large part of it. I think what we choose to focus on, I mean, so much of how we experience life is based on the choices of where we choose to focus our thoughts. And you know, we kind of get immersed in a lot that's going wrong, but even just stepping back and like something as simple as you look at nature and you think it's all been kind of, God brought this all into being out of nothing, and the beauty of it and the beauty of snow coming down and like just the stopping to reflect and the all of and even just being so beyond us and caring infinitely about what happens in our individual lives. I think there's an awe in that when we stop to actually immerse ourselves in that and really think about it. So I think reflection does have a lot to do with it, where we focus our thoughts.
Yeah, or even sometimes we in different reading or whatever, or Beth talks about just the amazingness of a baby being born, right? Or the, how the body is so perfectly formed and made and heals and all those kinds of things, yeah, can help you get a sense of perspective. So yeah, I think it is maybe just giving attention, right, to those things that are important.
Well, this past week we were reading through all the study material there, and by the way, Melanie, nice story.
Thank you.
But just as we were listening to the Christmas story, it sort of struck me that it's such a familiar story, yet we look at it differently right now. And there's always new things to figure out and say, well, this part, it's a popular story. I know all about it, yet I don't. So I found that interesting this week, that as we read the verses from the Bible and the stories that the people wrote about it, it just more things came up to understand. I think it probably had a lot to do with what we've gone through this past year.
Yeah,
this is a rich kind of story and a rich kind of life and living as Christians, that we can dig deep into things, right? And we can learn new things all the time. You can open the Bible up and see something new every time. That's the amazing thing of it. So yeah, that's a good point. Even at Christmas, we can be learning new things about that story. And yeah, that came through this week in the devotional. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Josh started the service with a prayer. He was emphasizing or focusing that idea on that some people find Christmas hard, right? That it can be difficult, or you can have a blue Christmas, right? They talk about that, or a tough Christmas. So I just wondered if people would be willing to share. Have you ever experienced that? I don't. Maybe you're experiencing it this year. I'm not sure, but I can start by, I think I've shared earlier about losing my sister in December of 1978 when I had just become a Christian. I don't think I said that how that affected our Christmas. Obviously, it was December 2nd, so Christmas was like, had no trappings, had nothing. And it was my first Christmas as what I would say a follower of Jesus too. I remember saying something to my parents that like that was the toughest Christmas ever, but it was also the most meaningful Christmas I'd ever had, just because there was all that was important was the story and the reality of that. We didn't do the gift thing and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, but anyway, does anyone else have memories of a Christmas that has been kind of different because of circumstances or other things?
Yeah, this Christmas is going to be different.
Yeah,
just on that we can't get together with our family.
Yeah, which makes it sad, obviously, right?
Oh, it does.
Yeah, for sure. Gerd, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say not yet, but as Sharon says, it makes it different or difficult. But with all the technology available right now, we can still reach out, like we're doing right now.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not going to be as bad as being totally isolated. Mm-hmm. And we know why we're doing this, so that there's no empty spaces next Christmas.
When my mom passed away, I didn't feel like celebrating Christmas in the traditional way because it would have been too painful. So we packed up and went to Niagara Falls and started kind of a little new tradition for our family, where for several years we would go to Niagara Falls around Christmas time and have a little celebration there for our new family, which didn't include anybody else because we had no other family around. And that was how we dealt with that at that time. It kind of was like changing our traditions and changing our idea of what Christmas meant to our family and how to celebrate in a different way. So I think we kind of carried that on. We're very flexible with our Christmas celebrations now.
You still go to Niagara Falls?
Not always. We did, I don't know if it was last year or the year before that. My daughter's schedule at work is flexible as well. So we did go for a Christmas celebration with her. Nice. And we stayed at a bed and breakfast, and it was a really nice time with our family.
Well, the theme this week was peace, right? When we talk about peace, what Bible verses come to mind that speak of peace?
The one that jumps out to me is from the Philippians, but don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Right. Yeah, the one that reminds me, I really like this one here. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I really like that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't use the word peace, but it certainly has the concept of peace, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That is to me, yeah.
Anyone else? I'm not trying to test your Bible knowledge or anything. I think he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee.
I think, too, doesn't use the word peace, but the whole come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Right.
There's lots of scripture on peace, that's for sure.
The only other one I was thinking of was John, where Jesus says, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, right? Mm-hmm. Or blessed are the peacemakers, of course. So a question about peace. When has there been a time in your life when you've had to play the role of peacemaker? Josh talked about kind of doing that with the kids, with his boys. And maybe all parents could probably identify with that one. So that's the easy one. Sorry to take that one away from you. But have there been other times in your life when you feel like you've had to be a kind of peacemaker?
Well, all the years that I was in nursing, there were many incidents, especially with the specialists, the doctors who thought they knew it all. And they did know it all, but they needed to be, there needed to be some peacemaking there for sure.
Good point.
I would then say I play the peacemaker every time we have a big family gathering. So the four of us, we get along great, but as soon as we bring in Tim's family and they've got strong personalities in his side of the family, I always play the peacemaker. And I still do on the phone, like once or twice a month, I get phone calls where I'm trying to keep the peace amongst family members. Mm-hmm. Like last night, my sister-in-law called and she said, can you please call your niece and play, do the aunt thing and influence her in such a way so that she can stop talking back to her parents. And I thought, there's some things I'll do and some things I don't, but I can't undo 18 years of your parenting in one phone call. But I feel like I'm always playing the peacemaker in that family, like when people hang up on each other and they call me and they rant and rave about the other person, trying to talk them down. It's my personality, and I'm an Enneagram 9-1, so that's part of my personality is needing, as a peacekeeper anyway. Right. And I'm learning that it's not something that you always should feel compelled to do. Is that sometimes when I feel the need to be a peacekeeper, I'm not keeping the peace for everyone else's sake. I'm keeping it for my sake, right? Because I like the people around me to be nice and calm and peaceful, because when they're nice and calm and peaceful, then I'm nice and calm and peaceful. So I'm not necessarily doing it because I'm altruistic and I love them and I care about relationships. I'm doing it so that I'll feel good that they're not anxious around me. Feeling, being in the role of a peacekeeper, sometimes I do wonder, like, why do we do it? And I hope that it's because you are doing it because you really do care about the other person, mm-hmm. that it really comes out of, like, God kind of expressing himself through you and saying, take care of my people. When you do it with nothing that you're holding back and no conditions on it, like if you're being generous to a homeless person, but you're not giving it to them and handing it with with two fingers, but holding on to it, saying, but don't spend it on drugs or something like that. First of all, you're being presumptuous, and that's not fair. But secondly, you're supposed to give unconditionally. So as a peacekeeper, I think you give peace unconditionally without saying, however, I want you to express peace the way I want it to look like.
Anybody else want to share about being a peacemaker?
I've had an opportunity in the last couple of days to be my own peacemaker, because I got quite frustrated with, I'm part of a kinesiology research project, and I had to put all my meals in a particular form, and I had to click, 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 and it didn't work. And I got terribly frustrated. So finally, it came to me, well, May, just pray about it. So I went to bed, got up this morning, and it all worked.
Way to go.
So praying for yourself, for God to intervene and calm you down, is very important.
You're right. You can be a peacemaker even for yourself. That's a good point. You know, that other question I want to ask, which flows out of those verses as well. I'm glad, Melanie, that you brought up that verse from Philippians 4. Have you ever, when is a time, I'm hoping is there has been a time, when you've experienced that, a peace that you would say passes understanding?
Gosh, this last year, we felt, and I felt, the last 18 months, a peace that passes all understanding.
Last night we had a family Christmas dinner, a early one, and we were talking over dinner about just about the year and COVID and our attitudes towards it. And I reminded them at the start of COVID, I thought, this is going to be a long haul. I predict it's going to be a long haul. And I had said at the start of all of this, I'm going to be a different person at the end of all this. I don't know how. And I prayed for God to give me direction. Like, I want to be a different person. I didn't expect to be jobless, but I expected. And the first day, well, after I resigned, on the very first day when I was no longer an employee of West Heights, I thought I would be a basket case. Because everyone kept saying beforehand, how are you going to feel? What are you going to do? And I said, I have no clue. Call me on September 1st. And that morning when I woke up was a peace that passes understanding, I felt. I could not believe how calm I felt about it and how joyful I felt about it. I didn't expect joy. Not that I hated the job, because everyone knows I love the job. That's the irony of it. I feel that God asked me to step away from something I loved, but I don't know why. And so that's why I didn't expect peace. I actually expected a lot of turmoil and angst and anxiety about what's next. But I'm still at peace and I don't understand it. So to me, that's a peace that passes understanding because it's beyond logic.
I just have one other question to reflect on here, or one idea at least. Josh was talking about how, I guess people less fortunate, he talked about that a little bit. And the peace is going to, that we envision in that passage in Isaiah. But I start this question out saying at Christmas, we tend to think about those less fortunate and perhaps even try to donate or help out others, right? And I guess the first question would be around that, like what are some ways that you've been moved to help others during this season, whether it's this year or other years? Do you make that part of your practice to try and give to organizations or causes at Christmas? Would that be a true statement that people do it more?
When our kids were little, we didn't give Christmas gifts to them. It was awful. We were mean, weren't we? But we all, when they were very little, we started giving them the World Vision Christmas catalog, and they got to choose. We gave them a dollar limit, and they got to choose a gift to give to somebody else. And it got to the point where each year as Christmas approached, they would say, where's the catalog? And I'd say, it's not out yet. Where's the catalog? It's not out yet. And they looked forward to it. They were highly amusing. Like I gave up, you know, like whatever, a chicken, or like, you know, 1 year Kiana was really into plants. So she was thrilled that she can give trees. Jared was very concerned about health. He was always like that. So he loved malaria nets. But every year they looked forward to seeing what was new out there and what they would remember what they gave the year before and do something different.
I have the good work news from the Working Center down here on Queen Street. They do a lot of work. And so I will continue to support them, because it's amazing, even the volunteers, what they do. I'm really impressed. And the other place is Jeff, who's part of the Better Tent City. I think that I was so pleased when I certainly contribute to that too. But there's others.
We did something different this year. Good and I usually give each other a Christmas present, but we decided to give it to McMaster. But when talking to Katie, a few weeks ago, she said about the need of families that have children there. And she got in touch with the social worker, and she said that their need for families has been so heavy this year, a lot more than other years. So that's where our money goes, because I thought it's bad enough having a child going through cancer or some other illness, but to be worried about where your next meal is coming from. And I mean, it's something I never even thought of before. So our eyes have been opened for another direction.
But Terry, didn't your family have an amazing giving, outwardly giving tradition around Christmas?
With Carol at the hospital, right?
Well, that was one way. Yeah, we would. Yeah, for a long number of years, we did take the kids up to Carol on Christmas morning up at the hospital on Beth's floor. She worked on the fifth floor, and she would. It worked out very well because she knew the patients or knew the nurses. So we'd go around to the rooms and ask people if they would like us to sing a Christmas carol. And when our kids were little, it was very, very cute, of course. And it was just kind of perfect use of skills and stuff, right? So I could bring my guitar and lead the singing. And it's touching, and it was an important part of our Christmas. It's only been the last few years that we haven't been able to do it or felt we had moved on from that, but it is certainly a big tradition for us as well. So yeah,
I remember a couple of Christmas before, I think it was you, and going with your guitar and playing Christmas carols at St. Mary's.
Right. Yeah.
And Fred Kilman was in, and he still talks about what a wonderful sense of enjoyment it was for him to receive the visit and the singing.
Yeah.
So he still talks about it.
I was just thinking about that this week at one point, yeah, that once in a while when we would do it, there'd be somebody in the hospital that we knew. So we specifically make sure we connect with them. So, yeah.
Well, he really appreciated it.
Yeah, that's fun. I think the one of the things that when Josh was talking about it, when I was thinking about this question, it was that he pointed out that God has that preferential kind of care for the marginalized, for the poor, for those in need all year long, right? That it's not just for that, it's for Christmas. It's part of the kingdom, the values of the kingdom. So, and I know you're probably thinking the same, that we want to give more than just a Christmas, but it becomes a special time when we do that. So just an encouragement, I guess, to have us continue to think of ways to reach out and bring God's kingdom to our world and bring his peace. This is, I think it's all related to these words of Advent and peace, especially that brings. So I also, you know, this has been interesting. This has been an experiment doing these discussions. I'm kind of keen and interested in continuing and doing it in the future too, at some points. So if you're interested, that would be awesome. If we can get more people involved, that's even better. So yeah, look for that there might be some other opportunities to do it again after a service. I just think the format kind of works. I think it's been good, and hopefully you found it meaningful too. So
again, thank you.
Thanks for being part of it. And Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Love to everyone.
Merry Christmas. Thanks,
Terry. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Okay. My pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening. If you haven't checked out our earlier episodes, there are three other discussions you might find interesting as well. Merry Christmas, everyone.